You know, you make plans in life, you get ready to do things, but it doesn't always work out the way you plan, does it? And so that's why the Lord is with us, the Holy Spirit's with us. He helps us adapt to what we need to do to give the glory to Him, right? That's what He does. Well, today we're going to talk a bit about encouragement, because that's what the Lord does for us. He encourages us. I can't even think to name how many different ways He encourages us. And so today, that's what we're going to talk about. And I remembered a song that I had heard when I was a child. And I heard it through my parents, who were saved, and they sang in a quartet in their church. And this was one of the songs that they sang, and you can hear it on the radio as well. And we used to go to camp meeting down in Waimama, Florida. I don't know if you know where Waimama is, but it's a bit south of here, I think. And we would be riding in the car, and I would be sitting on my mother's lap and singing songs. And so now I'm seeing that, my plan was to sing you this song. And now I find that it's all been erased. Oh, Lord have mercy. Let's see, maybe I can find it. Will you give me a moment to look for it and see if I can find it? My mind is racing. I can't even think of the name of the song now. It's so funny. Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe we'll do it at the end. Let me just sit this out of the way. Let's pray. I think we need a word of prayer right now. I know I do. Father, it's so good to be in your house, fellowshipping with you and with your saints. And it's so just a joyful thing to meet together, Lord. And so today we're going to talk about meeting together. We're going to talk about encouraging one another, Lord, and getting encouragement from you. So, Lord, even though this isn't going to go the way I planned, I hope it goes the way you planned, because that's what really matters. So, Lord, thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for the words you've given, especially the word of your scripture. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So, Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." As that's what's in Hebrews 3:13. What is sin's deceitfulness? It's our flesh. Sin uses our flesh to deceive us. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 it says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." And we are doing this. We are building one another up as we meet in fellowship and as we serve together. That helps to build us up. And so we're doing that. Yet in the doing of it, in the serving, we must never let negativity rule our mindset. We must cast that out as soon as we perceive its presence. No negativity. That's pretty hard to do, isn't it? Because we live in a world full of negativity. We live in a world that's fully against our Lord and Savior and fully against us. And so it's pretty hard to cast that out, but we need to do it. Throughout the Bible, we see instructions to encourage one another and verses that are meant to encourage us. And so if you need encouragement, I say get into the Word. Look in the Word. Go to your concordance in the back of your Bible and look up the word encourage and encouragement and go to those verses and read them. and see if you can't get some encouragement. We have those verses there that are meant to encourage us. Why? Why is encouragement emphasized in the Bible? It's emphasized primarily because encouragement is necessary. It's necessary to combat our negativity. We are negative by nature, and we need to combat that. But it's not only that, it also revitalizes our walk of faith. It keeps us going again. It gets us pumped up again and makes us want to go again and fellowship with the Lord and with each other again with a smile on our face, right? The joy of the Lord. That's what we're looking for through encouragement. Would be a sad, sad world if we had nothing to look forward to. No encouragement. Just the mundane day-to-day task. No good. Jesus told His followers in the Gospel of John, chapter 16 and verse 33, "In this world you will have tribulation." You will. No doubt. Every day you face things, some very major, some very minor. Like not having the song that you wanted to sing, right? We face tribulation every day. But a good teaching pedagogy, a good method of teaching, Jesus showed us by giving the negative first, and then ending up with the positive. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. See, there's the good news. He doesn't leave you hanging in the negative. He gives you the positive. Amen? Amen. Jesus did not shy away from telling His followers about the troubles they would face. He knew we would face troubles. And the minute you open your mouth and give testimony to Jesus, just be ready. You're going to face some opposition. The Lord knew that. He wants you to be aware of it and be ready. And so you can be ready. In fact, He told them that the world would hate them. Hate them. In John 15, verse 18 and 19, He said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." The world hates the followers of Christ because the world hates Jesus Christ. And in verse 19 He says, "If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world..." Why are you not of the world? Jesus said, "But I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you." Because the world senses that you're a follower of Christ. You're a believer in Jesus. You walk in the Spirit of a holy God. And so it's against you. It's against you. But that's okay. What should you do?
Right.
Show the love of Jesus. Show the love of Jesus. Also in Matthew 10:22 it says, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved." You see, there's that bad news, good news scenario again. Here's the bad news. They're going to hate you. Here's the good news. Endure with me. Hang on to me. Walk with me. And you're going to be saved. No matter what. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, the Scripture says this, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ." We're the fragrance of Christ. "Among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." Both kinds sense us, sense the presence of Jesus in our life. "To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death. And to the other, the aroma of life, leading to life." Now, verse 16 is a little easier to understand if we omit the word leading, which was added by interpreters for clarification. But if you leave that word out, it makes just as much, maybe even more sense. Listen to this. The aroma of death to death means without Christ, we are dead here and we are dead in eternity. Death to death. And then the phrase, the aroma of life to life, means accepting Christ gives life here and life in eternity. Life in eternity. So if you are trusting Jesus for your salvation, you can look forward to a life with Him in eternity. Joy and bliss. Yes, we are. The fragrance of Jesus Christ. You know how they make perfume? They take the leaves and crush them of flowers that have scent. They take that and crush it and mix it with chemicals, and they draw that scent out by crushing. That's the life of a believer. You're going through this crushing process of this life. But you don't have to worry because you have Jesus with you. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And so you can give off that fragrance of Jesus as you're going through this life. People will notice. They'll notice. And they'll want to know about Jesus. That's our purpose, you know. That's why we're here. That's where we're giving the good news of the gospel. Christ died to wash away your sins and make you ready to be with Him forever. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Of course it is. John 16:33 gives us a grim forecast of tribulation, but it's tempered with cheer. Bad news, good news. He gave truth and then followed the assurance of tribulation with a wonderful word of encouragement. You remember what I said? He has overcome the world. That's what He told us. You're going to have trouble here, but I've overcome this world. You'll be with Me eventually. Hold on. Serve Me. Trust Me. Walk with Me in the Spirit. And we'll end up together in glory in the future. Amen?
Amen.
That's a promise. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. But we must turn to Him for our encouragement and strength at the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So just like when we started, I said, I think we need to pray. Well, when you feel that, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you can pray. And nobody even needs to know it. If you don't want them to know it, you just, in your mind, you just take a moment and whisper that prayer. And the Lord gives you that strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. And you can move on and get the victory that the Holy Spirit wants you to have. He wants us to walk in victory in this life. We forget that sometimes. We get beat down and beat down and beat down by the world, and we forget who we are. We're redeemed and we have the Holy Spirit in us. And if we'll yield to Him, we'll have His power. Have you ever thought of that? The Holy Spirit is God. We have access to the power of God to do good and to have joy and to serve with gladness. Amen? Without encouragement, that's what we're talking about, encouragement. Without encouragement, hardship becomes the way of our walk. Can you imagine a life with no encouragement? It would be very mundane and nothing to look forward to. We would have a hard life and our will to go on would keep getting smaller and smaller. It would decrease and decrease until finally, why should I even be here? And that's not what the Lord has for you. He wants you to go on. You become like a flat tire on a car. You're still part of the body, you're part of the car, but you're not functioning because you're not looking to the Lord and calling on the Holy Spirit to help you get pumped back up, encourage you. And that's our job too, to encourage one another. Remind each other of who we are and what we're about. That's what we need to be doing. The prophet Elijah struggled with discouragement after his victory over the prophets of Baal. You remember that? He got there on Mount Carmel and fought with the prophets of Baal, but he didn't fight. Who did the fighting? God did the fighting. He gave the battle to him, and the Lord gave him the victory. Amen? But what happened after that? That old bad Queen Jezebel, she said, "Listen, Elijah, I'm coming to kill you. You just mark my words. You think you have the victory? You don't have the victory because I'm coming to have you killed." And what did he do? He ran. He ran as fast and as far as he could go. He ran. This whole story is in 1 Kings chapters 18 and 19. Elijah suffered with discouragement. And so do we every now and then, don't we? But the Bible gives us the words of encouragement that we need. It tells us how God can give us the victory. And he Elijah got the victory, didn't he? He got up there in that cave, and God sent him signs, loud signs, but there was no victory in it. And what was the final sign he got? A still, small voice from God. And that gave him the victory. Amen?
Amen?
Elijah suffered, but he won the victory by trusting God. It's important to remember that our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We don't have to hate people. It's not with them that we're battling. We don't battle flesh and blood. It's the power of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. People out there are being manipulated. They don't understand that. They don't know it. They don't even want to hear about it. But they're being manipulated by our enemy and the enemy of Christ. Ephesians 6:12 tells us our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We need to remember that. We can show love to people that hate us. They don't even know why they hate us. They're just being manipulated. This truth makes encouragement all the more important. It's not that we just face the world's displeasure. It's not that. But we are caught up in the crosshairs of a spiritual battle between King Jesus and his enemy. He claims a kingdom, but he's not a king. He's not going to get the victory. But we're in that battle, and when we are encouraged in Christ, we are reminded by yielding to the Holy Spirit. He's with you all the time. You just have to stop and call on Him. We're reminded by yielding to the Holy Spirit to put on all of our spiritual armor and remain steadfast, as described in Ephesians 6:10 through 18. That's where you read about the spiritual armor of God. Why is it spiritual? Because it's the power of God. It's the power of Jesus Christ. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that will give you the victory. Even in places where Christians do not experience open persecution or hatred. We don't see too much of that in this area, do we? Where people are mistreating Christians. I'm sure there's some going on out there, but it's not a big deal like it is in some places. And we all know life can be difficult. Discouragement is not an uncommon human experience, is it? could have given in to discouragement this morning. Threw in the towel. Oh, my plans went awry. That's okay. I'm living in the Spirit, and He's helping me to do what needs to be done, and I give Him the glory. But He doesn't even want the glory. He says, give that glory to Jesus. You ever notice that in Scripture? We're never asked to glorify the Spirit. He always tells us to glorify Jesus. And that's important, isn't it? Discouragement is part of our reality. At times, recognizing that there is meaning in the seemingly inconsequential things that we do. Do we ever find ourselves saying that? Well, I'm going to do this. Doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter until it becomes a habit. Then it becomes something that matters. That's why you need to stop some of those things when they first start out. Don't let it get to be a habit. Take care of it sooner. Because all the things that happen in your life happen for a reason. And I know some of you young people, you don't see it now, but when you get to be my age and the age of some of these other seniors here, you'll look back and you'll say, oh, now I get it. Now I understand why that happened. Now I know why that relationship didn't work out and I had to move on. That wasn't what the Lord had for me. Oh, I pushed it. I made it happen. But it wasn't what the Lord had for me. And then when I finally repented and started following Him, then He gave me what He wanted for me. Much, much better. Amen?
Amen.
God has a purpose. You believe that?
Amen.
God has a purpose even though we may not see it. 1 Corinthians 1:9 tells us God is faithful. Amen. He has a plan for you. He knew you when you were in the womb. And He already had a plan for you. But we often miss it because we don't submit to the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit and see God's plan. And sometimes we get discouraged because we can't see that far ahead. But He can. So what do we have to do? We have to trust Him. We have to trust Him. Walk in the Spirit. Show the fruit of the Spirit. Live doing what the Spirit wants you to do. Show that love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness. And see what happens. Follow Him. So the seemingly inconsequential, mundane tasks we do in God's name, they're preparing us. We're being prepared. For what? I don't know. God has a plan for you. I don't have a plan for you. I'm busy trying to follow my plan that God has for me, right? Now, I'll pray for you and encourage you. But listen, we all need to ask God, keep me in the plan. Let the Holy Spirit guide me so I'll walk in it. I'll walk in the way. God has a way for you. The Lord has a way for you. The Holy Spirit is taking you through the way. If you let Him. I've said this before. He's not going to grab you by the scruff of your neck and make you walk in the way. No, because He's a God of love. So He'll let you go your way if that's what you really desire. But He'll be there. He'll be there waiting for you to say, oh, this is not really the way. This is not what I thought it was going to be. I need to go back to the Lord. I need to repent. And the Holy Spirit will say, that's what I've been waiting for. And He'll guide you to get back in the way. Amen?
Amen.
He's preparing us for the more difficult tasks we may have to face in the future. Do you know what you're going to have to face in the future? No, you don't. But if you know that the Holy Spirit is in you and He's going to lead you and give the victory in whatever you face, then you can walk with confidence into the future. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, all those little phrases, we should learn them and keep repeating them. And if you have the wherewithal, like Curtis, you can master whole chapters of Scripture and remember it. That's great. But at least get some catchphrases to help move you along in the right direction. And the Holy Spirit will bring it to your memory. He loves you. He wants you to go the right way. There was a man in the early church named Joseph. I'm talking at the time just after Jesus went back to glory. The Scripture refers to him as, first of all, Joseph. Joseph. You probably still don't know who I'm talking about. He's in the book of Acts. He was also called Barnabas. Now you're getting into the picture there. You know what Barnabas means? Bible names often have meanings. His name meant son of encouragement. Oh, that's Barnabas. He's an encourager. He lives to encourage people. That should be our goal. We should live to encourage one another. And even people out there that don't love the Lord, encourage them to love the Lord. Help them to become knowledgeable about what Jesus has done for them. So he's the son of encouragement. In Acts 4:36, we have the action of Barnabas that earned him his nickname. Here's how he got it. It says this in the book of Acts of him. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it. He sold it and bought and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Why did he do that? He was encouraging the growth of the new church of Jesus Christ. He was encouraging, right? You know what? Churches need a place to meet. I mean, you can meet in houses of people for so long, and then you're going to need a bigger place. And you're either going to have to rent a hall or you're going to have to build a hall. And so God is providing for the needs of His church through this willing, loving man, Barnabas, the son of encouragement. So by this, he encouraged the newborn church. And through the encouragement of Barnabas, the Apostle Paul was first accepted in the church in Jerusalem. Well, why wouldn't they accept Paul in the church of Jerusalem if he showed up and said, "Hey, I'm the Apostle Paul. I've written about 13 books in the Scripture. Can I be a part of your church?" "No, you can't be in here." Why? Remember how he started out? He started out persecuting the church. He was looking for believers and throwing them into prison. Some of them even were killed. His reputation went out far and wide. The Apostle Paul, oh, we don't want anything to do with him. But then the Lord got a hold of him, didn't he? Changed his whole life. But Paul then had to fight that reputation. Barnabas helped him. The son of encouragement helped him be accepted through the encouragement of Barnabas. Also, another person in the early stage of the church was helped out. John Mark. Who is John Mark? He wrote the Gospel of Mark. That's who John Mark is. And he went on an evangelistic journey with Barnabas and Paul. But what happened? He wanted to go home. He got homesick. He's traveling with those two great men of God, and he gets homesick and decides, "I'm going home." Paul didn't like that one bit. He just kind of wrote him off. "Yeah, you can go on home and just stay there." Not so with Barnabas. Barnabas kind of took him under his wing. and encouraged him and encouraged him and encouraged him. And then he came back to serve again. And through the encouragement of Barnabas, young John Mark was given a second chance after bailing out of his evangelistic crusade with Paul. In Acts 15:39, Barnabas stands up to Paul for John Mark. How'd you like to be in those shoes? I've got to go to bat for somebody against the Apostle Paul. Quite a thing to be asked to do, right? But he did. He argued for John Mark that he should be allowed to come along, but Paul refused. So what did Barnabas do? He parted ways with Paul. He said, okay, if you won't let him come, I'm going to take him and I'll continue on. Or we'll do a gospel journey over here. You work over there, we'll work over here. Who knows? Who knows if we would even have the gospel of Mark if Barnabas hadn't done that? Went to bat for him and encouraged him to come back. Encouragement. Encouragement makes it easier to live a life for Jesus while living in a fallen world. That's why we need to encourage one another. We have enough battles out there. We don't need that here. We need encouragement in the Lord, encouragement in the Holy Spirit, so we can live the life that the Lord intended for us. Encouragement makes it easier to love as Jesus loved. Oh, there's a tall order for you. Love like Jesus loved. You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love like Jesus loved. That's what we're supposed to do. John 13, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, Jesus said. A new commandment I give, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That starts here. But it's not limited to here. Because if we go out there and show the love of Christ, what might happen? Who knows? Revival might break out. And the next thing you know, there'll be meetings about Jesus and salvation, and people will get saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, there are cities known for that. Oh, that city, that's where that big revival broke out for Jesus and thousands of people got saved. That could happen. Would you allow your mind to go to that place and say, yeah, that could happen. I could be a part of that by just showing the love and encouraging others. Encouragement gives hope. Encouragement gives hope. I hope you grew up in a family that was encouraging. Because all through your life, they've been encouraging you. And then the Lord picks that up and goes with it, and He keeps encouraging you. And when He left, He gave the Holy Spirit, who keeps encouraging you. And He shows us how to encourage each other. And that's what we need to do. Romans 15:4 says this, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Can you imagine living in this world with no hope? No hope that things are going to get better? I can't imagine living in some of the countries that are in the world under certain political systems. No hope. You were born this way in this economic situation, and that's the way you're going to end up passing out of this world. There's no hope for improvement. You know when that changed? When they discovered the new world. Because even under English law, you were born into a class, and that's where you lived your whole life. And it wasn't until the pilgrims escaped Europe and came to America and said, no, now you have liberty, you have freedom, you can do other things. If you don't want to be a farmer, you can work with animals. You can be a blacksmith. You can do things that you want to do, things you're good at doing. You don't have to keep going on with the mundane things that you just can't stand. That's what the new world brought. That's what the new life brings. When you're born again, the sky's the limit. You trust the Lord. You walk in the Spirit. Go where He leads you. Who knows what you're going to end up doing? I never thought when I was a kid I'd be doing this. Ever. God works.
Amen.
God works. His Spirit is real.
Yes, it is.
And we are encouraged by this. Scriptural encouragement, God's Word, helps us through times of discipline and testing. Yes, there's discipline and testing in the believer's life. What's its purpose? To make you stronger in the Lord. To give you small victories so you're ready for the big victory that you're going to be challenged with down the road. That's why we suffer these small things. Hebrews 12:5-6 says this, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons, children of God. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and scourges every son whom He receives. Do you know the Lord loves us?
Yes. Amen.
Do you know the words in this verse are pretty harsh words, aren't they? Scourge? Well, that's what they did to Jesus before they took Him to the cross. Listen, the Lord's scourging isn't like that. It's not stripping away your life. It's stripping away the things that are holding you back from having life in Jesus. That's why we let that happen. That's why we submit ourselves to the Lord. We want to be closer to Him. So we let Him strip away those things that are holding us back. That's a good thing, isn't it? It's the love of the Lord bringing you into alignment with His Spirit so you can live a life that's glorifying to Him. Would you like to do that? Live a life that's glorifying to the Lord? You have to let it happen. You have to agree with the plan. You can go your own way. You can limit your participation in the body. You can do those things. But that's not His plan. His plan is that you submit, you humble yourself to the Spirit and follow Him, so that it can be accomplished. Yes, there will be times we need God's discipline, which He gives to us from His love. He does it because He loves us. That should also be encouraging for us to know. God didn't love us, He just let us go on our merry way. He wouldn't try to stop you. He wouldn't try to get your heart and your mind in line with Him. You just let it happen. Not His plan. If you're going to be my child, you need to line your mind and heart and will up with me. And then we'll do great things. You can't even imagine. Encouragement nurtures patience and kindness and love. An encouraging word to someone you don't know what one little encouraging word will do for a person, because you give it and you go on. But they have it. They hear it. They take it in. And it helps. Encouragement, patience, kindness, love come out of encouragement. Just read the love passage of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. I was going to leave it out. I just gave you the reference and then we'll go on. No, I decided, no, we better. In fact, the Holy Spirit decided, you better read that passage. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. So I turn to it. I have it here in my scripture. Starting at verse 4. This is the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to us. God speaking to us. He says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. Thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Brothers and sisters, that's not the love of the world. That's the love of God, the love of Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit. Only in the Holy Spirit can those things be accomplished. There's no selfishness in that. He did it all for us. That's the love of God. This passage also embodies the encouragement of Galatians 5, 22 and 26. Well, what's that all about? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness. My old mind fails me. I can't remember them all. But you can look them up. The word's right there. Galatians 5, 22 and 26. And it speaks of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Encouragement eases the sacrifices we make for the advancement of God's kingdom. That's what we're supposed to be about. The advancement of God's kingdom. That's what you're doing when you're out there telling people about the love of Jesus Christ who gave Himself for them. You're advancing His kingdom. And you may not even get to see the results. You may witness to that person and never see them again, but you've planted a seed. And somebody else comes along and they add to that. They water it. And somewhere down the line, that person takes Jesus as their Savior. And you may never know it until you're in glory. I don't know that the Scripture even says we'll know it then. But that's okay. In here, you'll know you've done your part. You've served the Lord. You carried out His mission that we were given for this world. Encouragement eases our sacrifices. In short, encouragement makes it easier to walk with the Spirit in the Christian life. Brothers and sisters, if you're not leaning on the Spirit, you've got a tough row to hoe. You're trying to do something in your own power, and it's not enough. It's not enough. You know what happens when people, when believers do that, they try to do things in their own power? They get frustrated, and they quit. They quit. It's a moment-by-moment thing. You can call on the Holy Spirit every second you're going through your day. He doesn't mind. He wants you to call on Him. Do it. Get the strength. Keep the strength. Get the encouragement of the Holy Spirit so you can live the Christian life and be in the mindset of Jesus. You can't be there without the Holy Spirit. You've got to humble yourself to the Holy Spirit. Then He will give you the mind of Christ. He'll bring it to your remembrance. Oh, what was the will of Christ, the mind of Christ? Not my will, Father, but Thy will. I'm doing the mission. I'm following the plan. With the encouragement of the Holy Spirit and each other, our lives take on meaning and purpose. With the encouragement of the Holy Spirit and each other, we can be strengthened and get victory over the challenges of life. You've experienced a few challenges in life? You can get victory. With the encouragement of the Holy Spirit and each other, we can experience the love that flows from God through the unity in this body, the body of Christ. We should be encouraging each other. With the encouragement of the Holy Spirit and each other, we increase our faith that God is for us. How often do you think that? God is for me, not against me. He wants the best for me. And sometimes the best for me is not having that thing that I really want, or I think I really want. But it's not going to help me. It's not going to be a positive thing for me. And so He steers you in another direction. God is for us. Always and in everything, all the time. Well, why do we miss it? Because we're thinking in our mindset, our flesh. Give it to the Lord. So the Bible tells us to encourage one another, to remind each other of the truth that God loves us, that God equips us, that God treasures us, that our struggles are worth the cost to us to reveal Christ's glory through us. He wants to use us. That's why He wants to bless you in all kinds of different ways. He wants to use you as a testimony to everybody out there in the world. Ryan, would you come up, please? Listen. The encouragement of God's Word, the encouragement of God's Word gives us the will to carry on in Christ. That's why you need to read it. It will bless you with power and the will to carry on. Because I guarantee you, you're going to get weary. You're going to suffer some setbacks. You're going to try to talk to somebody about Jesus and they're going to put their hand right in your face and say, I don't want to hear about that. It'll happen. But you don't let that discourage you. You just move on. You planted the seed. Amen. Go on. Amen. When that holy unction came on you and something in your heart and mind said, mention Jesus to this person. And you did, but they rebuked you. Okay, you were obedient. You did what you were supposed to do. That's what I'm talking about. Follow the Lord. Be encouraged by the Spirit to do those things that are hard to do, but not impossible. Not impossible. You can do it. This Word, God's Word, is a glimpse of the bigger picture. It's a glimpse. Everything about God isn't in here. The Scripture says all the books in the world couldn't contain everything about Jesus, let alone God. So He gives us a snapshot so we can be encouraged. His Word is a glimpse of the bigger picture. It can prevent weak faith. Weak faith. That's a big problem in the body. Weak faith. You know, I had a feeling that I ought to do this. Nah, I shook it off. That's where a lot of us are. God gives you that holy unction to do something for Him. Say, how? Show me how, Lord. He'll show you. He'll get you out there. It prevents weak faith. It can save us from believing sin's deceitful lies. That's our flesh. You can't do that. God says, oh, I'd like you to do this. No, you can't do that. Well, why not? Because you're just one person. You're just one little measly person. How are you going to do that? By trusting the Lord Jesus Christ and following the Holy Spirit and being encouraged by that team moment by moment. Encouragement helps us experience the abundant life. Do you know what the abundant life is? It's following Jesus, doing what He says as much as you can. I want to say to the T. But we don't get that far. We don't get everything done perfectly. And that's okay. Just take that first step. Take that first step. Even a non-believer knew that. Gandhi, once big time leader in India, he said the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step. But you have to be willing to take that step. You have to be willing to trust the Lord. Encouragement helps us experience the abundant life. John talks about it in his gospel, chapter 10 and verse 10. And what does he say? The enemy comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Is that true? You know it's true, isn't it? But we go back to that true pedagogy. Bad news, good news. Bad news is the enemy wants to kill you. Kill your testimony, kill your service, kill everything good that you want to do for Jesus. And here's the good news. But Jesus. But Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. You know what that means? Life without limit. That's what that means. Is there a limit on Jesus? Of course not. We need to be encouraging all the time. All the time. When that negative thought appears, cast it out. Replace it with a positive thought. Go to Jesus. Call on the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 16:24 says, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Pleasant words. What are pleasant words? Scripture. That's where you find pleasant words. That's where you know that they're true. That's where you know they came from the Lord. The Holy Spirit brought them. Pleasant words are words of love, unity, and encouragement from God's Word. And each other. We should be using God's Word to encourage one another. And we can do it. We can do it. If you commit yourself to do it, you can do it. No commitment, no result. Your commitment is the Holy Spirit. He will help you. Amen. If you will humble yourself and call on Him. We'll have love, unity, and encouragement through God's Word. Let us have the mind of Christ and ever use His encouraging words to empower our family. Our family. Encouraging words from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, help us now to humble ourselves to your Holy Spirit, to call on Him to empower us to make the commitment to do the best we can at encouragement. We don't really know how we're going to get it done, Lord, but we know that You want it to be that way. You want us to be encouraging. You want us to speak Your words, to draw others into You, and to get others who are already here closer to You, so that we can all walk in the spirit of unity and love and agreement, that we want to serve the Lord by being encouraging, encouraging with Your Word and in Your Holy Spirit. We call on You, Holy Spirit, to help us make the commitment. Only by You and Your power are we going to do it. That means we have to trust You and call on You. Help us to do it. Help us to make the commitment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.